Please turn in your Bibles once again to Luke chapter 10. We'll pick up where we left off this morning. We'll read tonight Luke 10 verses 38 to 42. Again, as we read, remember that this is God's holy word. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Well, again, this is one of the very well-known passages in the Gospel of Luke, and it's an interesting passage because you can find all sorts of great applications from it. You can learn about setting priorities, perhaps. You can learn about the busy life and the contemplative life, or you can do a study in personality types if you want, or I even saw one thing that wanted to find a lesson in well-balanced hospitality in this passage. And all those things are interesting and important, but the passage is driving us to ask, what is the one thing that we should learn here? What is that one thing that Jesus is pointing us to? Very simply, the answer is it is himself. This passage is pointing us to faith in Jesus. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about faith in Jesus. This morning we had 6 lessons about the law, just 3 lessons tonight. I don't know if it will be half as long or twice as long, but 3 lessons tonight about faith in Jesus Christ. The first is this: faith is defined by receiving rather than by doing. Faith is defined by receiving rather than by doing. This definition comes to us in this passage, not in an outline, which I'm about to give you, but it comes to us with a picture. Mary. Mary is our picture of faith. She sits at Jesus' feet. She listens to his word. Theologians have talked about faith, they've defined it in 3 aspects: knowledge, assent, and trust. Knowledge is the information that you need to have. Faith has a component of information. As you read the Word of God, you recognize that it teaches God created the world, that God created humanity in his image. You recognize the teaching of the fall into sin, that mankind has all rebelled against God. The teaching then that God has sent a Savior, Jesus Christ, and that he has died on the cross for sins, that one day he will return and he will save his people and he will judge those who do not follow him. There's knowledge that's essential to faith. There's information that you're supposed to know. But then theologians go on and say there's an assent. And the difference between this is I know the information. Maybe you could give me that outline. Well, the outline I just gave you, anybody could give you that outline, but you say, "I think that's a true outline. That's really what happened. That's the story of creation and the story of sin, of Jesus Christ coming and rising from the dead. I believe that really did happen." That's assent. But then there's trust. And trust is where everything comes into its own, where that's now defining my life. I'm sitting at Jesus' feet. I know the information. I've heard the story. I think it really is true. And it's changed my life. I rest in Jesus alone for salvation. That's the simple picture that Mary is for us. She was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. She had faith in Jesus. It's a powerful picture. And I don't think it's an accident that this comes after that law story we looked at this morning. What must I do? Here's how you do. Go and do the same. The emphasis on understanding God's law it must drive us to the place where Mary is. I can't do. Certainly faith will produce doing in us. We are people who do, but it drives us to that place where I must receive. I must rest. That's what faith is about. Faith is defined by receiving rather than by doing. Ask yourself the simple question, do I have faith in Jesus Christ? Do I have faith in Jesus Christ? Do I rest in Him? The second lesson that we want to consider in this passage as it teaches us about faith is that faith in Jesus Christ can be disturbed by many things. Faith in Jesus Christ can be disturbed by many different things. As we look at Mary and compare her to Martha, I think it's important that we don't say Mary is the picture of faith and Martha is the picture of unbelief. Because there's nothing in Scripture to indicate to us that Martha does not believe in Jesus Christ. Far from it. We get the sense as we go through the stories of the Gospels that Jesus loved these women both very much, that He cared very much about Martha. Martha, in the first verse we read, welcomes Him into her home. Martha loves Jesus. Jesus loves Martha. This is not an unbeliever. This is a disciple who follows Jesus Christ. But she's disturbed. She's been disturbed. And I think that every true Christian at some level is Mary. We rest in Jesus Christ. And every true Christian at some point in life will be Martha, probably at many points. Our faith is disturbed. It's shaken. It struggles as we live our lives. What makes us struggle? What disturbs us? Well, there's several things I want us to consider as we look at Martha and the way that she is disturbed. The first thing is this. We can be disturbed by a divided heart. Faith can be disturbed by a divided heart. Jesus says to Martha, "You are so worried and bothered about so many things. There's so much going on in your mind. You're just distracted and divided." In the last year, I had a favorite blog article for 2020, which I usually don't have a favorite. I read several and find a lot of them interesting, but I have one that stood out to me. It was by Sam Storms, a pastor, and he said, the title was this. It was written to pastors, and the title was, "It's Okay to Be a Pastor." And he said, "Pastors, you didn't sign up to be an expert in epidemiology," or whatever the word is to know about diseases. He said, "Pastors, you didn't sign up to know everything that you're supposed to know about masks, and you didn't sign up to be able to explain political issues and who people should vote for, and you didn't sign up because you're an expert in issues that have to do with police or racial tensions or anything else that's going on in America this year." He said, "You were called to preach the word of God and to faithfully shepherd people. It's okay to be a pastor." And that was so helpful to me, and maybe that's what you're needing to hear. It's okay to be, if you're a ruling elder, it's okay to be a ruling elder. If you're a deacon, it's okay to be a deacon. If you're a mom, it's okay to be a mom. If you have a job, it's okay to just go work hard at your job. If you're a student, it's okay to be a student. It's so easy to be distracted by so many things. Fundamentally, underneath all of those things, it's okay to say, "I'm a sinner in need of grace. I'm not here to solve the world's problems. I'm here to be saved by Jesus Christ." It's okay to sit at Jesus' feet. Martha was distracted by so many things, good things. She was distracted. Maybe your faith is distracted. It's okay to sit at Jesus' feet and trust in Him. The next thing that was disturbing her faith was doubt about God's love. Listen to what Martha says to Jesus. "Lord, do you not care?" Jesus, do you care? Isn't that a question that comes into our hearts so many times? Jesus, don't you care? As much as we know the doctrine, God is love, that of course Jesus loves me, but our faith is disturbed so often. Jesus, do you care? This is such an important point that one definition of faith that I read as I was preparing for this message was that faith is a confidence that God loves you. That's how one person wanted it to be defined, knowing that God loves you. And I found that that is one of the central struggles of faith. Do I really believe that God loves me? Am I willing to say, yes, I know God loves me? Faith will be disturbed when we ask the question, Jesus, do you care? Faith is also disturbed by envy. Martha says, Lord, do you not care specifically that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Martha's life, perhaps like yours, is not fair. Martha's life is one in where she is being given a disproportionate amount of work to do. It's so easy in the church to find ourselves in that position. Where, why do I do so much? Look at that person over there and how much they don't do. I read on leadership or things like that, and people will talk about the 80-20 rule. And I can't prove if this is a rule or not, but it sounds good. They say that 80% of the work in any given organization, including a church, will be done by 20% of the people. And then the other 80% of the people do about 20% of the work. And that's just the natural way that things are divided up. And it's so easy to feel, whether the numbers are right, it's easy to feel that sense of, you know, I'm part of the few who's doing all the work. And other people aren't working, and it's not being balanced. And the leadership books will tell you how to fix that. Sometimes I wonder if maybe we need to just say, Lord, you've made people different, haven't you? Isn't that interesting, God, that you've decided to do it this way? And you've given me what you've given me. And to let our envy go and simply submit to God. Say, I'm going to trust in you and follow you. Envy will disturb our faith. Faith is also disturbed when we grasp for lordship. When we grasp for lordship. Martha, after giving this complaint to Jesus, says, tell her to help me. Jesus, please tell my sister to help me. I think it's significant in this story. Jesus is only referred to by the title Lord. He's only referred to with reference to his being a master, the one who is in charge, the one who is in control, the one who has the right to tell Mary what to do and to tell Martha what to do. And Martha, again, like so many of us, is not quite sure that Jesus is using his lordship correctly. Maybe you've looked at the world sometimes and thought, you know, there are a few suggestions I could send to heaven that would really make things better down here. You know, the way that Jesus is running this world right now, maybe it's big picture things as you look at the news or things like that. Maybe it's just in your life. Jesus, if you would just tweak a few things about my life, you know, I would serve you a lot better and everybody would be a lot happier and my family would be going a lot better. And I have a few suggestions, Jesus. Why don't you do it this way? How easily those thoughts come into our minds. We want to grasp for lordship. We want to instruct Jesus in how he ought to run the world. Again, we need to humble ourselves and sit at his feet. He's the Lord, not us. Faith will be disturbed when we grasp for lordship. And then a fifth thing, we've looked at a divided heart, doubt about God's love, envy, grasping for lordship. Fifth, just anxiety. Jesus says to Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. And anxiety could get its own sermon. It's something that is so common in our hearts. It's so common in our society. And there's no simple solution. You know, stop worrying. Well, I can't stop worrying. I'm worried about stopping worrying. The worry can just get inside us again. We need to rest at Jesus' feet. So ask yourself, is my faith being disturbed right now? Again, if you find as you search your heart that your faith is disturbed, this doesn't mean you are not a real Christian any more than it meant that Martha's not a real Christian. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It means that you're called to build up your faith. And that takes us to our third lesson about faith. Faith is defined by receiving rather than by doing. Then faith can be disturbed by many different things. Finally, faith must be built up by God's promises. Faith must be built up by God's promises. What does Jesus have to say? Verse 42. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Imagine hearing those words from Jesus as you were sitting at his feet. This will not be taken away from her. The promises of God are what build up our faith and encourage us. They're what anchor us in Jesus Christ. As we think about this promise, I think it's worth pausing to notice what happened right before the promise. Jesus acknowledged Mary's choice. He said, Mary has chosen the good part. And that's important to recognize that there is, you're not a robot. You need to make choices. You may have feelings going one way and you need to choose to do what you don't even feel like doing. And often those choices will encourage us, but Jesus doesn't say Mary has chosen this, and because she is such a good chooser, she is going to have a good life or something like that. No, he puts choice in the right place. It's a means that God uses. It's a part of our experience of following him. Christianity is about freedom as opposed to slavery. We have freedom in Christ to choose to follow him, to choose to continue to do these things, but it's not what we count on. You can't choose your way into faith. And of course, you probably know Romans 7, where Paul talks about how sometimes choices just get away from you. He says, I know what I'm supposed to do, but then there's sin inside of me and I don't do it. And I hate that I'm not doing it, but I'm still not doing it. Wretched man that I am, who will save me? Only Jesus Christ. And that's where Jesus is taking us. He recognizes the means that God is using, including Mary's choice, but it's the promise of Jesus Christ that secures her. This is so important when we think about faith. The security of your salvation is not your faith. That's the means that Jesus is using. The security of your salvation is the work of Jesus Christ that he has done for you. It's not that once you believe hard enough, then you can know that you'll go to heaven. It's that once you simply recognize Jesus has done it and he is the Savior, you're resting in him. You're sitting at his feet. I think many of us will, as we hear the story of Mary and Martha, will associate ourselves with Martha. That's okay, because Jesus loved Martha. Jesus saved Martha. Jesus encouraged and built up Martha in her faith. So what I want us to do is to consider these different disturbances, and I'm going to lay them over top of a passage that talks about God's promises and invite you just to listen. I want to turn to Romans 8. You can turn there too if you want. But consider just one passage of the promises of God and how God addresses our faith and the things that disturb it. Start by thinking about that divided and distracted heart that keeps on turning the wrong way. Romans 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What a wonderful promise. When you're all over the place, the Spirit of God is not. The Spirit of God knows exactly where he's supposed to be to help you. Maybe you struggle with lordship. You wish God would run things differently. You have this wonderful statement in the next verse, verse 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We may get confused about the way God runs this world, but we know he has promised his glory and our good by his lordship. Perhaps you're anxious, worried about the future. Remember again what he tells us. Now, verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. God has planned it from beginning to end. And you're in the middle right now, and you may be worried about that. But God has given you his promise to finish the work. Maybe you struggle with envy, with the way that God has handed out gifts and assignments and things in the church and the role that he's given you. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. God sent his son for you. How could he not take care of you? How could he not have your best interest in mind, even though it doesn't look fair in your life? Or maybe your doubt is the question, Lord, do you care? Do you even love me at all? And we're reminded, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. These are the promises of God. He has given them to you to build up your faith. What do we do with this lesson? What do we do as we're reminded about faith? What's the application? Well, tonight, I'd invite you to take the rest of the evening off. I don't want to tell you to do anything. I want to invite you to rest in Jesus Christ. Sit at his feet. Remember that he has died for you, that he loves you. He will take care of you. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we thank you for the one thing that is necessary, that you have given us yourself. Lord, we are so easily overwhelmed. We are so easily distracted. We worry. We doubt. We question. Return our hearts to you, we pray. Bring us back once again to sit at your feet, to worship you, to learn from you, so that we might know your love for us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.